بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، نحمد ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد. وعن المقداد رضي الله عنه في حديثه الطويل قال: كنا نرفع للنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم نصيبه من اللبن. Continuing with the hadith, Miqdad radiallahu anhu says, Imam Nawawi mentions that this is a lengthy riwayat, however the portion that is pertinent of it to the current topic that we are discussing, the mannerism or the etiquettes of salam, he has mentioned that section. Miqdad says that we used to carry before Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam his share from the milk. We mentioned that this referred to a few goats that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sharing with the Sahaba. In the lengthy incident it is mentioned the unusual manner of the copious amounts of milk that this goat would produce. It was in fact a mu'jiza, a miracle of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nevertheless, pertinent to the kayfiyat of salam, he says that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would come fayaji'u min al-layl at night. He would make salam in such a manner that if someone was sleeping, their sleep would not be disturbed. وَيُسْمِعُ الْيَقَضَانِ Those that are awake could audibly hear the salam of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. فَجَاءَ النَّبِيُّ sallallahu alayhi wa sallam Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came, he made salam فَسَلَّمَ كَمَا كَانَ يُسَلِّمْ As he would normally make salam. Just to reiterate, we discussed this yesterday, very important principle of Shariat, that in enacting a sunnah act, enacting something that is virtuous, we have to be careful that we don't do it in such a manner that inadvertently it is coupled with us doing something that is haram or prohibited. In this case, it is to cause harm and to inconvenience others. Classical example of this principle, although is not pertinent to what we are discussing here, is, for example, a person spends a long time in the masjid. One is the salah, which is compulsory. After salah, you engage in Allah's zikr, you engage in other activities, but you do it in such a way that you are causing taklif to others. For example, you park your car, or you're blocking the driveway. Again, the same principle. One side you are trying to do something virtuous, and inadvertently while doing something virtuous, you are doing something that is haram, forbidden. So from this hadith, an important principle, salam, virtuous, sunnah, but disturb someone that is sleeping, wake him up, cause taklif to someone, that is haram, forbidden. So be careful how you do whatever you are doing. Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, beautifully, the Sahabi narrates it. La yuqidu na'iman, would not wake the sleeping person, wa yusmi'u liyaqdan. And the one who is awake could hear the salam of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wa Asma bint Yazid radiallahu anha, anna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam marra fil masjidi yawman wa usbatun min an-nisa'i qu'ud. فألوى بيده بالتسليم رواه الترمذي وقال حديث حسن وهذا محمول على أنه صلى الله عليه وسلم جمع بين اللفظ والإشارة ويؤيده أن في رواية أبي داود فسلم علينا. أسماء بنت يزيد رضي الله تعالى عنها narrates that رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم once passed by the masjid, مر في المسجد يوما. وَعُسْبَةٌ مِّنَ النِّسَاءِ قَعُودٌ There was a group of women in the masjid. Time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as we are aware, women were allowed to come to the masjid. So, Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed by a group. Now, the word in the riwayat is usba. Usba, ulama say, generally refers to a jamaat between 10 and 40 in number. So, it was a fairly large group of women that had gathered in the masjid. Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed by them. Asma bint Yazid says, Alwa biyadihi bittaslim. He made salam with them, but by the movement of his hand. In other words, with a gesture. He greeted them with salam by gesturing. Imam Nawawi rahimahullah, in the subtext of this hadith, he mentions that we would assume on this occasion that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam verbally made salam and gestured. Jama'a bayna al-lafzi wal ishara. Lafz means to articulate, to say salam. Ishara means to gesture. So Imam Nawawi says that even though only gesturing is mentioned in this particular riwayat by Asma bint Yazid radiallahu anha, we would assume that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam articulated the salam and gestured. And he says this viewpoint or this explanation is supported by the riwayat of Abu Dawood, where there it is mentioned, Sallama alayna, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam made salam to us. There are two or three issues in this particular hadith which warrant discussion. First, is it permissible to greet women? In this instance, ulama ikram mentioned very, very clearly that if the woman is not your mahram, or not so old that there is absolutely no possibility of fitna, in that case, it will not be permissible to greet a strange woman, make salam. Today, mashallah, particularly in the marketplace business, person sometimes even got a kurta on, nice beard, but when it comes to a young female girl walks into the shop, smiling, making salam, etc., unnecessary conversation, all this is totally prohibited in Sharia. Somebody may come up and say that here Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is making salam with a large group of women in the masjid. This ulama ikram mentioned was the speciality of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because as we know, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, an-nabiyyu awla bil mu'minina min anfusihim. Allah Ta'ala tells us in the Quran that the right that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has over the believers is greater than their own lives. He obviously was the spiritual father of the ummah, and Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam was a nabi, so protected from fitna, protected from disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in that instance, this permissibility was, or speciality was granted to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It is not permissible for strange men to greet women, or in the instance that they are greeted, a young woman makes salam with you, you are not supposed to reply to that salam. Classical example, you are engaging in unnecessary conversation with a strange woman, which is haram, prohibited, and you are trying to fulfill some sunnah which is mustahab. So in that instance, logically, the salam will not be permissible. The other issue in this hadith is the question of why Imam Nawawi rahimahullah says هذا محمول على أنه صلى الله عليه وسلم جمع بين اللفظ والإشارة. He says that we will automatically assume that Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم articulated the salam and gestured, didn't just gesture. The reason for this is that we find in other ahadith, particularly there is one hadith in Tirmizi Sharif, the sanad is da'if, but Ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma mentions, لا تشبه باليهود ولا بالنصارى. Rasulullah said, do not imitate in making salam, do not imitate the Yahud and the Nasara. This concept is very, very common, even in acts of ibadat. Leave your dressing, hairstyle, appearance, mannerisms, social functions. Allah forgive us, today we take our cue from the Yahud and the Nasara. That is totally not permissible. Man tashabbaha biqawmin fahuwa minhum. Rasulullah said, if you imitate a nation, Allah will raise you with them. We have our own culture. We have our moral code, we have our akhlaq, our character, which is taken directly from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We are not supposed to be imitating the Yahud and the Nasara. This is extremely emphasized to the point that even in ibadat, we know the famous incident of the fast of Ashura. Likewise, salam is ibadat. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, do not imitate the Yahud and Nasara. فَإِنَّ تَسْلِيمْ الْيَهُودِ الْإِشَارَ بِالْأَصَابِ. He said that the Jews greet one another by gesturing with their fingers. وَتَسْلِيمَ النَّصَارَ الْإِشَارَ بِالْكَفْ. And the Christians greet one another by gesturing with their palms. So to gesture with the palm or gesture with the fingers, in other words, instead of articulating the salam, make salam like this, or to gesture, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we find in this riwayat, he said that is imitation of the Yahud and the Nasara. Don't make salam like that. From this hadith we learn that, yes, if it's a large crowd, and with your making the verbal salam you want to in gesture, in that case it would be permissible, but this should still be the articulating of the salam, verbally saying salam. Don't just suffice on making salam by making some ishara or sign or gesture. One Abi Jurayl Hujaymi radiyallahu anhu qal, ataytu Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam فقلت عليك السلام يا رسول الله قال لا تقل عليك السلام فإن عليك السلام تحية الموتى رواه أبو داود والترمذي وقال حديث حسن صحيح وقد سبق بطوله. Imam Nawawi رحمه الله at the end of this hadith also mentions that this particular hadith in its entirety passed previously. Those of us who remember will bear in mind, would possibly recall the subject matter of this hadith passed previously, but it is being repeated at the end of this particular chapter, which deals with the kayfiyat of salam, because of it being pertinent to what we are discussing. This, we dealt with this hadith at great length previously. The nuance that is found in this hadith obviously is specific to the Arabic language, so it will not easily be fully comprehended, the import of the hadith, to those who are non-Arabic speaking. In this hadith we find a prohibition that a sahabi says, I came to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and instead of assalamu alaik, I said alaik assalam. Instead of assalamu alaik, peace be upon you, alaik assalam, technically the meaning is very, very similar. One fine point, ulama kiram mentioned, if you look at the wording, assalamu alaik, this manner of articulating your salam carries with it an imperative from that person to respond, assalamu alaik wa alaik assalam. However, if you change the sequence and say, alaik assalam normally would not require a response. So this is why Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam prohibited. Now, where does this alayka as-salam come from instead of as-salamu alayhi? We find that in those days, sometimes they would greet the deceased. Somebody had passed away. Instead of as-salamu alayhi, they would say alayka as-salam. However, we find that the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when you enter the graveyard, he said, say as-salamu alaykum dara qawmin mu'mineen wa inna insha'allahu bikum lahiqoon. يغفر الله لنا ولكم أنتم سلفنا ونحن بالأثر. Various du'as, this chapter already passed. Unfortunately, many of us don't learn these du'as, and it's important for us to learn these du'as, particularly the du'a for visiting the graveyard. Because visiting the graveyard, this is a very stressed sunnah, and it was very common. Allah's Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam regularly would visit the graveyard. So visit the graveyard, and when you enter the graveyard, read the dua that we are supposed to be reading. Now, that dua also, we don't say alayka salam, we say assalamu alayka, or assalamu alaykum, dara qawmin mu'mineen. Peace be upon you, the resident of this graveyard, or the believers of this particular home. So, Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Jurayl Hujaymi radiyallahu anhu came, he says, I came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I said, alayka as-salam ya Rasulullah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, la taqul alayka as-salam, don't say alayka as-salam, fa inna alayka as-salam tahiyatul mawta, because this is the greeting, in other words, previously, not that even now do we do it, this was the greeting of the deceased, those that had passed away. So normally you are going to be making salam to a living person, but Islam, from the dua of the graveyard, we learn that even the deceased we must greet. So if Shariat is telling you greet the deceased, from that we can understand how much more important that if somebody is living, you are supposed to be making salam whenever you see them. Allah give us tawfiq, subhanallah.